up, everybody? I'm Damika, and today you are listening to another installment of Artist Interviews. Today we have...
Yo, what's poppin'? It's your boy Romello, Mr. 203 himself. What's yes. good? Hi, how are you?
So, I'm gonna ask you a few questions.
Word.
And we're gonna get into this music stuff. So I'm gonna start off with, when did you fall in love with hip-hop?
I want to say it was definitely around the middle school days. Busta Rhymes was my first favorite rap. Yeah, Busta Rhymes, yeah. He was my first favorite rapper. There was a song he made for a Grand Theft Auto game called Where's My Money, and I used to listen to that all the time. And I would just break down how he would rap, the rhyme schemes he would use. There was one verse where he was like multi-syllables, and I was just like, bro, my sixth grade mind was blown. That's I didn't even play Grand Theft Auto like that. Only when I played with San Andreas, it wasn't in that game. So I heard that, and that's when I just really started looking into hip-hop, looking into old-school rappers. I was definitely an old school guy at first, before a lot of new age people, but I definitely say Busta Rhymes is the reason why I fell in love with hip-hop.
All right, I bet. All right, Busta Rhymes is the reason why you fell in love with hip-hop. Do you have any other inspirations?
Absolutely. Nas to me was always my favorite rapper of all time. I always differentiate. You know, I have favorite rappers and I have favorite artists. And as a rapper, Nas just always did it. He embodied everything that I wanted from rap. You know, everyone was always caught up in the Tupac and Biggie debate, but I didn't care. You know, Tupac to me, he wasn't really barring out and going crazy. He was very poetic. And then Biggie, yeah, he rhymed about the struggle, but everyone else rhymed about the struggle. He just did it in his own nice flow. Nas embodied everything that I wanted in a rapper. So he was always my main inspiration. Then I started getting inspired by Outkast. You know, everyone really only likes Andre 3000. I like both. You know, big people don't talk about Big Boy like that, but Big Boy has like a certain style that is unmatched, and it went really well with Andre 3000. So those are probably like three of my biggest old school inspirations. As far as newer inspirations, you know, Kendrick Lamar, To Pimp a Butterfly is probably my favorite album of 2010 to 2020. Probably my favorite hip-hop album of that decade. That and It's Up to Debate with For Your Eyes Only by J. Cole. Those embody amazing projects to me. They cover all gamuts of hip-hop, from storytelling, rhyme schemes, influence of other genres. And they just did so much. And that, again, that blew my mind. I wrote a college paper on For Your Eyes Only, and I got a 98 on it. Just because of how much I love that album, and I was able to write about it so much. So, yeah, I'd say those are some of my biggest inspirations.
Not to get off topic, but you said rapper versus artist, and I've just been talking to people about that, and I was like, you think about it. There are people who are literally not just rapper, they're artists. Like, Tyler, the Creator, I realized he's an artist. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa. And I was like, Outkast? Artist.
When they can do more than rap, they're artists.
And I was like, whoa! And I was like, what? I listened to Mr. Jackson, and I was like, this song is deeper than what I thought it was. I was like, do you hear these harmonies? Like,
you know, that's what people talk about when they think about artistry. Like, what do you do? Like, one of the most famous hip-hop songs of all time is The Art of Storytelling. And that's one of the biggest parts of becoming an artist. You know, anybody can rap. Anybody can get on a beat and have a nice flow. But what are you doing? Yeah, I can get an album of 16 straight songs and just like, okay, you're rapping, cool. But after a while, what do you provide after that, you know? I can't buy 10 albums of you of just rapping. That's why Jay-Z has stayed always so influential as he has. I'll tell you, Nas is my favorite rapper, but Jay-Z is my favorite artist of all times. Because Jay-Z he's never failed. After a while, Nas got stuck. He wasn't able to adapt at a certain point, and Nas had to kind of sit back until he started coming out again towards the mid-2010s, whereas Jay-Z was always a mogul of hip-hop, of all forms of artistry, and that's just something that is unmatched. You know, speaking of today, you mentioned Tyler, the Creator. Nothing about his latest project is hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Once you're able to really break a barrier like that, you're up to some of the highest scales of artistry. That's why people hold someone like Kendrick Lamar to such a high regard, or someone like J. Cole. It's not just because they're hyped, it's just they have that certain skill to be able to do that.
So do you think you're just a rapper, or are you an artist? Or do you want to branch off and actually become an artist with your music?
I always describe myself as an artist, but all because I'm an artist doesn't mean I still can't learn. You know, one of my most popular songs that I ever made was called Anxiety, and I told the story about my battles with anxiety, and one of the things that I did with that people liked was while I was mixing it, I ended up putting a pitch shifter on the second verse so that it sounded deeper and darker, and that was supposed to be my anxiety talking to myself, and people loved that, and I don't see a lot of people doing stuff like that. I can still learn different techniques of artistry, but to me, that's just like, I'm able to do that, so I always value that aspect of my stuff, but I still have many different things to learn. Like, a big thing in artistry is flow. If you look at Andre 3000, he has so many different flows, so many different cadences, and that's just something you need to learn. All because you can paint a picture, how do you project that picture? How do you tell somebody about that picture? I can't be on the same track with the same flow every single time. You got to be able to switch it up. And one thing I've been trying to do, I've been trying to learn how to rap faster. Mm. Not like Twista or Eminem or anything like that, but Kendrick Lamar, he can rap pretty fast, but it's not like, oh my god, fast rap. But that's something I want to learn. Like, there's so many different things I still want to learn about being an artist. I feel like I've just scratched the surface of my own artistry.
What does your music bring to the table?
In Connecticut, one thing that I see people struggle with is being different. Mm-hmm. You know, you got your artists who all want to make dumb out music. You know, you got like your Ali the Mins, your Snopras, your 60 Shot Blakes, your Big Bread J-Rock. And they all bring something cool to the table. You know, they all are able to make this fire music that gets featured on such high regards. But they just make, you know, club music sometimes. And that's no fault to them. That's what you need in this type of industry. You need something that's playable, people can dance to in the club. So they got that. But a lot of CT artists, they don't tell stories. They can't really put out their vulnerabilities. They want to portray an image. The only person I've seen do that is Ali the Man, who's really taken times. He sings. He's able to talk about his feelings, his emotions, his feelings of loneliness, feelings of sadness. But that's one person. That's one name. There's so many creative people. And one thing I'm able to do is I put it all on the table. Whether or not you're gonna know me, I have no image to give to people. I'm always gonna stay Romello. I'm always gonna be Kenny. There's nothing that I need to make people feel about me, because at the end of the day, I'm my own gangster. I'm not nobody else's gangster. My G can't be compared to someone else's G, because we're gonna do it differently. You know, like I already spoke about it, but my song Anxiety, I was able to really talk about things that people aren't gonna talk about. On one of the projects that I released, you know, really able to sit there and write love songs. And that's something that we don't really get like that. You'll get an occasional hip-hop love song, but, like, I really sat down there and wrote about a girl that I liked, and it became a good song with a good sample. So I feel like my ability to hone the heart that I wear on my sleeve and put that into my music is something that nobody else does.
Can you put my favorite song back on Spotify?
What song are you talking about? Bottom My Soul.
Yes! I need it back. I need it back on SoundCloud. Please release it again. Re-release it. I need it. I love that song.
Music from my high school days needs to stay vaulted.
Please bring it back. I like that song. Okay, can you redo it?
I would definitely redo it.
Okay.
I would definitely
redo that. That should be your new, like, when you pop back out. When you come back out, drop that. Shake the campus. Shake the world. That's it. All right. So, how do you set yourself apart from other artists?
For me, I want to be as different as possible while still being able to follow trends. You know, that's what you need to do. In hip-hop, there's always going to be culture shifts. That's why in, like, the early 2010s, we had such a culture shift into that drill and heavy trap music. But so many people did it. Too many people sounded alike. Now you only have a few people who are able to still stand. That's why Chief Keef became such a heavy hitter in the game. He was one of the first to do it and continue to do it well. I always want to, for like CT, one big thing is dumb out music. And I want to make dumb out music, but I'm still going to do it in my own way. I don't want to sound like everybody else. I don't want to be like everybody else. Because at the end of the day, I'm just going to be another person who gets featured on CT 860 Dance and no one asking where the link to the song is. They're just dancing. You know, I want to be able to follow those trends but still be unique, be myself, be me. Because again, like I said earlier, I'm my own person. I'm not trying to sit here and make you think all these other things. I'm just trying to make you think, oh, yeah, that's Kenny. That's really all it is.
What do you think is the biggest challenge with music?
The biggest challenge with music is that it's something that needs so much devotion that at certain points in your life, you really can't devote all of yourself to it. Me, I'm very big on mental health, and something that I've struggled with in the past 2 years is being able to maintain and always drop music consistently, because I need to take care of my mental health. I come from such a background where I'm the first person in my family really talking about mental health and being such an advocate for it, that I can't just continue to destroy it for the sole purpose of music, because then it's going to start messing up my music. And I've seen that. There have been in situations where my mental hasn't been good, or my health in general hasn't been good, and it's destroyed my music. I've become uninspired. I start sounding like everybody else. So just being able to devote all of yourself to it. There's high points and there's low points. There's bookings for weeks on end, and then suddenly you won't get booked for a show for weeks. There's being able to get the right instrumental, then you can't find that one beat for weeks. There's being able to write all these lyrics, then having no ability to write for weeks. And that's something that every artist deals with. And I commend the people who can continue dropping music over and over, but that's not me, because if I don't like it, I know somebody else isn't gonna like it.
Where do you see your future in music?
In music, I definitely want to make music, but in terms of how I make money, I want to be a writer. Something with me, not even just writer, I want to be in some type of creative circle that I can help people. I love music to the death of me, and I have so many passions outside of music that I don't want to just be the hip-hop artist, you know? Like, that's cool and all, like, I'd love to make music. Like, if I had to talk about level of comfortability with my success, like, a Joe Budden is calm. He got a calm house, and he's not always in the limelight. Sometimes he is, but most times he's not. And I'm completely okay with that. As I grow older, I realize the type of person I am. I'm not trying to have all eyes on me anymore.
Period.
It was cool when I was like two years ago, but now it's just annoying. I just be wanting to chill with my girl at home, man. So with music, like, I love to be able to just sit in studio sessions with these big artists and give them advice on beats. Write for them. John Bellion, not a lot of people know who he is, but that's the man who wrote the hook for The Monster by Eminem and Rihanna. Oh. And he got signed a $400,000 check and still gets royalties from that.
Yeah.
And he still makes music and has a core fan group and still tours and stuff, but he's not on the level of Kendrick Lamar. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just what I want, because I'll gladly take $400,000 and chill in the back with my core group of fans. That's what I want in my life.
Period. What is the favorite song you've ever did?
Now I gotta go look through I gotta look through my music for that one. There's so many different ones, because it's just, I've made music for different points of my life. I've never really made, like, super consistent music throughout all of my years. I mentioned it before, one of my favorite songs that I made, Anxiety, because, and that's not for for the lyrical content, but for the production of it. What I was able to do with that, my skills as an engineer, being able to have a whole second verse where people really feel like a demon is talking to them. I was battling my demons on that song. Then I have a song like Wavy, this calm, carefree song, just literally dedicated to smoking, that I could just go and people will sing along to, and that's fun. But I'd say Wavy, Anxiety, and in terms of, like, rapping, my song CT This, CT That. Because that's where I really threw it all on the table. Like, listen, I'm not these other CT people. I'm not some street dude out here busting traps, hitting licks. I've seen crazy stuff. I'm not doing it, though. I've seen it. I grew up watching it. I don't want to do it. And on CT This, CT That, I was just able to put that all there. And it's also because there's this great mindset that, oh, people in CT are whack. People in CT ain't see this. People in CT ain't do that. But none of those people would want to walk with me through the hill in New Haven at 12 o'clock at night to go get some pizza. People wouldn't want to go with me to Elm. People wouldn't want to walk through Whaley Ave. So these are just things. CT to CT that. That was my song to be like, listen, I'm not none of these niggas that's going to lie to you. I'm not none of these people that's like here to BS. I'm going to tell you straight like it is. And that was the first song where I really was able to, where I spoke about flow earlier, where I rapped faster at one point, and people were like, whoa, wait, what? So I feel like those are three of my favorite songs, Anxieties, Wavy, and CT This, CT That.
I think I'm going to have to say Bottom. It's Bottom of My Soul, right?
Bottom of My Soul, yeah.
And right, Quiet Storm Freestyle. Never forget.
Quiet Storm.
That never
was
forget.
A, I was that like, was a classic.
And there's, what's the other one? The one that had Stitch and Stitch's girlfriend on the cover.
Oh, Angel.
Yes! That's when he's a lame, he don't know how to act, and you got me breathless while you throwing it back. I'm kidding. Favorite, most iconic bar I've ever heard. What is your process when you're writing? Are you like one of those people that like, you're sitting down, you're like, and you just start writing on like a piece of paper? Do you have to like do something first? You
are. It's, I have, every song that I've written has been written in so many different ways. Like, I can't, there are some days I'm able to sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil and just write. There are other days I will be on the bus going to work and a bar just snaps in my head. I'll make a joke to my girlfriend and then I'm like, wait, that sounds cool. we were chilling with each other and she was like jokingly whining about something and I said a bar. I was like, oh, my girl wine friendly like some crackers and cheese.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wait, I need to write that down.
Yeah, what the like, heck? I was like, oh.
Because we were drinking wine, and I was like, my girl, wine friendly, like some crackers and cheese. And wow. I was just able to think about that on the spot. My writing is just very, I feel like my writing is a representation of who
that's
I am.
That's caption worthy.
I'm a,
yeah. I was like,
I'm a very random person, you know? People can't guess what I do. People can't really read me sometimes. And I feel like that's reflected in how I write. I won't write for a week, and then one day I'll write three songs that whole day. I'll write something jokingly, and then boom, take it from there. I'll put on a beat, and that beat will make me feel something, and I'll just write to the whole beat. But most of the times, it's definitely based on the instrumental. If I can't feel the beat, I'm not going to write for it, because it's going to be uninspired and lazy. It's gonna be uninspired and lazy, but if I hear a beat and that just makes me feel something, I grab whatever, my phone, pencil, paper, anything, and I get to it. And I'm never in a rush to finish writing my music. I'll put something down and 3 weeks later finish it.
I feel that. Wine friendly like crackers and cheese. That's crazy. That's crazy.
We were in a house just sipping some Moscato.
Literally about to... Oh, man, I'm allergic to that.
That just came out.
All right. Top 10 artists.
I gotta go into the phone again. So I have no order, because it's impossible for me to order. Everyone just brings something different to the table. Kendrick Lamar. Like I said, Kendrick Lamar is an all-time great. You know, people sometimes are scared to categorize like people like Drake or Kendrick or J. Cole as these all-timers because they're still younger. But, bro, yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like someone like Drake, it's hard to say that he... Drake is an artist of all time.
They're going to be on, like, Mount Rushmore for, like, our generation period. Like, that's
like,
it.
I could say three of my spots definitely go to Kendrick, J. Cole, and Drake. They are pioneers of a new age of hip-hop in all their own rights. Lil Wayne, no matter what, Lil Wayne is an all-time, he set the standard from the mixtape generation. He set a standard. Outkast, I count them collectively, because I can't rank one across the, Nas is still up there, because he's not the better artist to me than Jay-Z, but that's still, Stillmatic, I love Stillmatic more than I love Illmatic. Jay-Z, absolutely, he's up there as one of my favorite artists of all time. And again, sometimes it's hard to just rank these people in top 10, because it's just like, there's so many. Like, I can look through my catalog right now with music, and I see someone right here who Busta Rhymes, like, he's not one of my all time. I'm not going Busta Rhymes, he fell off. I'll be real with myself there. Busta Rhymes fell off. But it's just,
I've never actually heard somebody say Busta Rhymes was in their top 10.
He's an influencer, but he fell off. Same thing with Eminem. I'll put him in, like,
top 50, maybe. No, top 100.
Like, Eminem, I'm not going to be mad if you put Eminem in all-time, but all-time, you have to think about what they've done now. Like, that's something that people fail to realize, speaking about all-time. Like, there will be people who say that Tupac and Biggie are the greatest rappers of all time, but how would they fare in 2020 right now?
Pop, he might be able to stand a chance. Biggie, I feel like by the time he got like 2016, it would have been like, alright, you still
I'm gonna tell you right now, Biggie does not have a finito.
He definitely does not. He does not.
Think about that. Biggie doesn't have a finito.
But if he does, it's Hypnotized, and that's it. But I get annoyed when I hear it, like, unless like it's like a popping situation, that song comes on. But if it's just like, oh, Hypnotized is on, I'm like, okay.
Like, think about what Finito does to somebody in a party. Think about what Finito does when you just cool, and Finito gives people energy. There are
you got a gorilla in the coop, you be like, what? Like,
there's not people who, there's not a lot of people who do that. But I got sidetracked on the top 10. Kendrick, Cole, and Drake, that's three right there. Outkast, 4. Nas and Jay-Z, that's up to 6.
Choose wisely.
I know, I only got 4 spots left. And there are so many people I haven't even mentioned yet. A very, very personal favorite that I'd have to throw in there is Common.
Wow, yeah.
Common's done a lot.
I forget about him, but then I'm like, dang, when I listen to him, I'm gonna be like,
he did a lot for Chicago. Period. He did a very, very lot for Chicago that gets unappreciative because of Kanye West sometimes. But he's up there. Snoop Dogg.
Period.
Snoop Dogg is timeless.
Period.
Sensual Seduction holds weight.
Because why is that the song?
Sensual Seduction holds
weight. I had to think about it. I was like, wait, that really was him.
Another newer guy I'm going to throw up there is Tyler, the Creator. He did a lot. That was my music from middle school upwards. That's like, man. He's one of the people who also brought me into hip hop.
When she came out, I was like, what is this?
Wild. And then another artist in terms of just straight hip hop that I would throw in there. Man. I might give it to Eminem, you know? Like, he's in a low, like, 7 to 10 spot if I had to rank it, but it's hard to say that Eminem is not a greatest of all time. Eminem did a lot for hip-hop.
When I think about stuff, I think about, like, if I went to my playlist right now, whose names are going to pop up the most? I probably might have, like, 3 songs by Eminem in my playlist.
And facts. But that's just going to, that's just for, like, straight hip-hop. That I'm considered, like, if I had to just talk about, like, a bunch of artists, like, Childish Gambino was a greatest artist of all time. No ifs, ands, or buts.
He is an artist.
Like, he's a greatest artist of all times. No one has ever done a This Is America. No one. I don't know anyone who has a song that centered around social justice, but no one thinks of it like that until we talk about it. Childish Gambino, he's up there with that. You know, Michael Jackson, of course, Michael Jackson's an all-time. Janet Jackson, an all-time.
Period.
Just so many. It's hard to put top 10, because my top 10 is forever changing. Some days Kumo D is up there. Sometimes Kool G Rap is up there. Sometimes Slaughterhouse as a whole collective is up there.
Oh my gosh, people forget about them. Oh my gosh.
Like, Joe Budden, like, people crack jokes on Joe Budden, but that man, what he can do with a pen is dangerous.
You said Joe Budden, all he was pump
it up, and that's funny because that's what people think of. But like, if you really look into his discography, Joe Budden could really out rap a lot of rappers. That's why he's one of the few rappers to ever actually get into a professional battle on a lead. He's one of those few people that can hold a candle because his lyricism is up there. But he just doesn't really, he hasn't really made a crazy hit since Pump It Up.
I remember when that song came out. Oh my god, that was crazy.
But yeah, I can't even talk about top 10s anymore. I'm just going to start talking about every artist I like.
What is your biggest fear with your music?
my biggest fear of my music is that people put me into people will put me into a box of, oh, you have to understand something to listen to his music. Something really weird that I laugh about all the time. When I was in high school and first started making music, people told me I use too many big words, that they don't know what it means.
I remember you saying that.
And I thought that was funny, that in order to succeed, I have to dumb myself down because I can't cater to an audience who can't keep up with my lyrics.
I find it weird that somebody would even say that, because it's like so many people be out here using big words.
So I feel like just being placed into a box, I feel like that's my biggest fear. Because you have a lot of artists that happened to. Lizzo. You know, Lizzo is an artist that got placed into a box real quick. I heard her song Tempo, and I was like, that's fire. With Missy Elliott, that's a fire-ass song. And then she immediately gets put into this pop star, pop rapper thing. Like, you could have been straight up... You could have been a New Age Missy Elliott.
She could have been.
The music she was making was New Age Missy Elliott. Big girl with fire raps. But she went to pop. You know, I think about Lil Nas X, and people thought that this was going to be this black boy country.
Yeah, I didn't think that. I was like, what?
This man just phrased that first song with country so that he has the spotlight to be able to then make the music he wants. He has a country cadence, but nothing about his music is country. Rodeo, that's electronic based. Panini, that's straight up pop music. And he can go anywhere now with his music because he didn't stay into that box. He catered to a white audience to get him the accolades and the success, and then immediately went to making what he really wants to make. There are so many artists who get stuck in a box. What's a good example of that? CT artists. So many people want to just make dumb out music. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you're only going to get certain dumb out songs that are super popular. You got your Dummy by Ali the Man. You got your Yank Rhythm by Snopra. And then you got your Lime Bike by Big Brad J-Rock. Do That Dance by 60 Shot Blade. And then Anything by Gangstalicious. That's it. So many people make dumb out music every day. I have a whole playlist of like 50 dumb out songs, but there's only like 5 on that have over 10,000 views or 10,000 listens.
I don't even listen to it. I'm gonna be honest. I don't listen to dumb out music at all. I don't really like it. With the music industry, what is your take on the rap game now?
I wouldn't say the rap game is as oversaturated as it used to be. The drill phase, that drill era, was where it was super oversaturated.
I hated it.
But I feel like now you have to have like some form of genuine talent to continue staying popular. Like, people think Blueface has no talent, but you gotta understand where Blueface comes from. He's a West Coast crimp.
I liked him when he first came out. When Bleeding came out, I was like, oh, what is this?
He raps like a West Coast person. Choppy, straight to the point. Sometimes it sounds like he's straight talking. But if you go back to the roots of West Coast music, G-Funk, people was just talking and just not being always on the flow. That he has talent.
Because Dr. Dre, when I hear him rap, I'd be like, wait, what? And I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, okay.
But with the rap game now, you also need to start being either amazing at one thing, and no matter what, can never do it bad, or super versatile. There's no room in between. Someone like DaBaby, people make fun of him because he has one flow, one style of beat that he uses. But that man does it good. Like, that man does it real well. No one else does that. He just has that certain type of flow and cadence that it doesn't matter if it's going to sound the same. It's DaBaby. Oh, Lord, Justin made another one. You know what the beat is probably going to sound like afterwards and the flow, but you don't care. Everyone makes fun of DaBaby, but I guarantee you they know the difference between Shug. They know the difference between Babysitter. They know the difference between Bop. They know it. You got to, because he does it so well.
Bow, bow. When do you know you've made a hit?
it brings out a certain emotion.
Okay.
There's just a certain emotion that comes out. Something I think of is when Travis Scott made that documentary about him making Astroworld, and when they made No Bystanders, that reaction from everybody. You just knew. When you heard that final mix, and you hear that echoed, oh, and then when you hear, fuck the club up, boom. That, you just know it's a hit right there. I can't answer that. You just know it's a hit right there. It's just, you either know it or you don't. And you, people make music, like, they know the difference. Sometimes you make a song because, like, I genuinely want to make that song. I know people will like it. But you know what a hit is. Snopra, Yank Rhythm, when that dropped, that was a hit.
Yeah, that's when I got Young and May in it, right?
Mm-hmm. That has Young and May in it now. You knew that was a hit. When you heard that beat, think about that start. Chill Shump on a beat. She came in talking shit. Snopra Winfrey, Snoko Ono, whatever you want to call it. No one knew who Snopra was at that time.
I was like, who are you?
But people knew Snoko Ono, Snopra Winfrey. Like, people knew it the second they heard that beat. Because it was just something about it. And a lot of it comes from having a powerful hook. She sampled Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See by Busta Rhymes, a hood classic, made it into a dumb out song, and kept the hook simple. That my dog, that my D.O.G.
That's my, can't I see. Like that song.
P.O.P. Hold It Down. Song. Like, people like the P.O.P. Hold It Down, because that references a funny video. Hold it down, I'm legally blind. Like, that's funny. And this is so many different things. It's like, when you got a hit on your hands, it's just you. You know.
He said, I'm
no one else will know but that artist. Think about it. What's that song? I Got Hoes. Why can't I think of the name? Mo Bamba.
I couldn't figure out. I was like, what song is I Got Hoes? Yeah.
Mo Bamba.
When that song came out, as soon as you hear that out, beat, you was like, whoa.
2 years later, it became popular. But I can guarantee you that the artist knew that this song was it. He just played the waiting game.
He really did.
Snowbird released great. Yank Rhythm my sophomore year of college. And it didn't get popping until about the halfway point of my junior year.
Yeah, it did come out at a rare time for me, too. Yeah, that's crazy. All right, patience is a virtue then with music then. What is your favorite style of rap?
I don't really have a favorite, per se. It really, it's a mood thing. Like, I'll be in the car sometimes, and I'll be like, yo, I need something I can just rap along to and be vicious while I'm driving. And then sometimes I'm just trying to sit back and listen to some Doja Cat. I'm not even gonna lie. I sit back and put on Juicy and rap that song word for word. I love that song.
Oh, Say So is my favorite Doja Cat song.
Just depends on the kind of mood I'm feeling. Like, if I want some storytelling, I can go for Mortal Man by Kendrick Lamar, For Whom the Bell Tolls by J. Cole. If I want some wild bars, maybe I'll throw on some Joe Budden, some Joel Ortiz. I'll throw on something. If I just want some calm music, if I want some popular music, I'll throw on The Box by Roddy Ricch. It's just really all what I want. I'd have to say, though, if I had a definitive style, is still being able to have, like, those bars and lyricism while still, like, telling some kind of story. Andre 3000 and Big Boy were two of the best at it. They are the best at it, if we're being... They could tell a story while just regular rapping. Like, think of Me and You, Elevators. They tell a story in that song. But they're just rapping. They're talking about what happens to artists as they blow up. Yeah, I'm making money, but is that enough money to continue supporting my family throughout the life? But it's just a good song while they're rapping. You got International Players Anthem. They're talking about being faithful, the struggles of cutting off women to actually stay with one, and what other women are going to feel like transitioning from being a hoish man to a faithful person. And they're really telling a story in that, but it's just so catchy. You don't think about it. But that holds such a story to it. So I have to say that's probably my favorite.
All right. So what region is running hip-hop now? What region do you think is running hip-hop right now?
What reason?
Region.
Oh, what region? If this was early 2010s, it was definitely the South. Right now, it's a tie between the East Coast and the South. because that New York sound has started coming back. Also, the UK has a heavy influence on us.
Definitely does.
Everything about Pop Smoke's music is UK. Welcome to the Party, that is, what's grime? That's a grime beat, Welcome to the Party.
That beat, I hear it, I'd be like, what song is
my Dior? That's a grime beat. So I'd have to say that New York style is coming back, but that the South still has a heavy, heavy input on all the music that we listen to.
Last question. Thoughts on dead rappers? Like, rappers that's been passing lately.
A lot of it has to do with how young some of these boys are. And I say boys because that's what a lot of it is. A lot of these kids, they come from horrible areas. They come from poverty and have immediate success. When you think about someone like Big Pun, that man was skinny and buff. And then he got signed and became fat because he now had the money to feed himself and his family. He went from having to barely eat to ordering steaks and these expensive dinners every day. It's a huge thing on the mental health of these people. And with our day and age now, mental health is a big thing. More and more kids are not diagnosed with some things that they should be diagnosed with before getting into the industry. Dealing with major depression, dealing with major anxiety, dealing with major issues at home, abandonment, and so many things. Like, drugs, like, that's why they turn to drugs. Like, the only real rapper who raps about drugs and has always been fine is Wiz Khalifa, because he's always stuck with weed, because he only wants weed. When you start thinking about these are kids that are popping Xannies, these are kids that are popping drugs that target certain emotions, and they're not able to do that, because now they're just famous. You know, people made fun of, Joe Budden made fun of Lil Yachty, because he's like, I'm always happy, but he's a young kid that's just happy. He didn't come from, like, this wild struggle, though. He was this high school student doing good for himself, and then he just made a song that got popular. And that was really it. Their mental health is horrible, and that's what's taking a lot of these kids. They have depression that they don't know how to deal with, and they have all this newfound fame they don't know how to deal with. And the only thing they can do is turn to these negative influences. They turn to the drugs. And mind you, they have all these famous people just shoving it down their faces, shoving it down their throats, promoting this lifestyle that it's okay, it's acceptable. Like, I always knew, like, if I ever got, like, big, big famous like that, I want no parts of that, like, wild Hollywood club partying scene. Because these people be killing themselves, bro. Meg Thee Stallion, bro, I'm telling you, people's gonna plot on that girl's demise. Like, they be taking her Drive the Boat liquor thing to the point where they're gonna end up making that girl get hurt because of it. She's still young. She's a college girl. That's what she's supposed to do, like, drinking. She's in college. But people be really out here forcing liquor down her throat. There's been some videos where she's looked like,
I'm tired of this.
Tired. Get me and home. People have been just shoving liquor in her face. And it's just wild. It's because these people are young. They don't got guidance. They don't have that. You know, Eminem, when he came into the game, the reason he was able to battle a lot of things, he had Dr. Dre. 10 years older than him, guiding him through this. People don't have mentors. And a lot of it is that you have these black boys getting run to the mill by these white business owners. These white people don't care about what they're doing. They want to know, how can you bring money to my table, and how can we keep abusing you so you can't make money no more? Mm-hmm. They don't care. Like, I've seen artists when they say, I'm not going to make music to focus so I can focus on my mental health. Fans have conniptions, because I need to take care of myself before I take care of music. Like, Juice WRLD said it best, what's the 27 club? We're all dying when we're 21. Mm. These kids are my age. Mm-hmm. I'm older than some of these kids who have died. I'm older. I think I was older than XXXTentacion when that kid got assassinated.
I think, yeah.
I think he was 19.
Yeah, weren't we like 20? See, that's scary.
Mac Miller is only a few years older than me. Juice WRLD, my age. Lil Peep, my age.
That's when it really hit hard. I was like, dang, that could have been somebody I knew. That's scary. Thank you so much for coming here today.
No problem.
Letting me interview you. Let the people know where they can find you.
You can follow me on Instagram at _itsromello. That's _itsromello. On Twitter, romello_203. And you can find me at UNH's campus. Turn it up.
And there you have it, folks. Thanks for tuning in with me, Damika, today as I interviewed Romello. And be sure to tune in every Saturday at 3 o'clock for more artist interviews. Peace.